never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, if you're Baptistic, you may have trouble with this message today. But I assure you, I am not teaching salvation by works, nor am I teaching that you can lose it. I'm teaching that if you got it, you're different. And if you're not different, you don't got it.
Okay, so there it is. I'm not teaching that you're saved by works, but I am teaching if you're saved, you're different, you're changed. What is the change in the individual's life? They're born again. They are sealed with the Spirit. They are going from condemned to justified. They're going from impure to holy and righteous and set apart. They have only the corruptible, and now they will have the incorruptible. That's the change. And the only way I, as a man, can see your change is by your works, but your works don't justify that you are changed. The blood of Jesus justifies you. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Bibleline. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and today we are reacting to Michael Pearl from The Door Ministries. He was sent to us a while ago, and we're going to get to this response. It's about 6 minutes and 34 seconds, the edited video. Again, I say just as a disclaimer, we edit these for brevity, but also we edit them to make sure the whole content of what is being said is clearly communicated, then we react to those invitations and doctrinal teachings. Let's get started.
Ephesians 5:5. You know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, or covetous man, or idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 4:3. Times past, you walked according to the course of this world, lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, drunkenness. The Bible said the drunkard shall have his part in the lake of fire. Drunkards cannot go to heaven.
All right, so I know the whole clip, so you haven't heard it yet, but you're going to hear it later, and it's worth saying now, about 28 seconds in. So his whole premise is, if there is no change in behavior, there is no spiritual justification. So this is the example of backloading the gospel. But he's not even clear on the gospel to begin with. And that's not till at the very end of the video you hear his call for salvation, so to speak. It's not biblical, has everything to do with man's works. The passages that he uses, Ephesians 5:5 and in 1 Peter, I want to take a look at what these say here. Let's look in Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Okay, so this is obviously saying to believers who are children, there should be the next step of discipleship. Okay, it doesn't have anything to do with their salvation, but has everything to do with their life here on earth. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So because we are children of God, because we are saints, we should not be in that kind of behavior. This is understood when you understand the doctrine of the two natures. I within myself have an old, sinful, wicked nature that I was born with that was the result of my nothing that I have done except that I was born as a man. Okay, I have sin. That came from my mother and father and all the way down to Adam and Eve. But there's a new nature within me that was born again when I put my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Holy Spirit resides in me. That new nature can please God. That new nature is what's going to go to heaven. This body that I have here will not go to heaven. I actually need a new one to be in heaven because this one is tainted with sin. So when it goes and tells us here, fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. This is an instruction to keep our lives pure because we are pure in our spirit nature. And then he says in verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That is a description of the man who only has his flesh nature. He's a whoremonger, an unclean person, whatever it might be, a liar, in this case an idolater, a coveting man. He's not going to get any inheritance into the kingdom. Why? Because he doesn't have a new nature. He's not born again. You, Christian, do have a new nature. If I were to be an alcoholic for the rest of my life, when I die, I will no longer be an alcoholic, praise God. And right now, even though I can commit alcoholic consumption, I can do that. I can drink and be a drunkard. That's a choice that I can make. God does not condone it. There will be discipline for it. And I will not have the amount of rewards I could have had because I was disobedient. But I am not unsaved now. But that doesn't mean that God's telling me to go do it. But boy, I have the choice to do it. I can choose to fulfill my own desires. Mr. Michael Pearl here says, well, if you're a drunkard, you're not going to heaven. Why is that? Because his doctrine is based on works, works, works. He'll get to it. And I want you to make sure you see it, but let's continue.
You say, but I got a Baptist doctrine. It says if you're saved, you go to heaven no matter what. You need some Bible doctrine.
No, I remember watching this and going, oh, man. Obviously, there's a couple other parts here, too, where he's going to go against this Baptist doctrine. Folks, it ain't a Baptist doctrine. It is a Bible doctrine. Once I'm saved into eternal life. And if you want to mock that, go ahead. Doesn't change the record. God says those who have the Son have life, and that's me. I've put my trust in Jesus Christ. I have life, and it's not because of a Baptist church. It's because of a Bible. He mocks it. Get you some Bible doctrine. Well, yeah. How about you do the same? Don't forget to like, comment, and share this video. It helps the YouTube algorithm and get us in front of new people. And speaking of new people, if you're here and you haven't subscribed, hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. Set it to all so you are alerted anytime we post anything to the Bible Line YouTube channel. If you have a video you'd like us to take a look at or a Bible question, send it to us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. We'll do our best to get you a written response and even make a video like today's. Let's get back to today's video.
You said, but I'm a Christian. If you're a drunkard, you can't go to heaven.
Of course, if you're a drunkard, you can't go to heaven. That's all of the flesh. That's why you need a brand new nature. You know, there's a lot of deception that goes on with people and thinking they're sinless. Well, I haven't committed murder, but you hate your brother. Well, Jesus has some words for you. Well, I haven't physically gone out on my wife and, you know, slept with somebody else. Oh, but you've had lust in your heart towards another woman. Jesus has some words for you. You see, the standard that these men set for righteousness is absolute filth in the eyes of God. Our cleaned up acts, our better than others, is still putrid, rotting, filthy rags in the eyes of God. We need something brand new, and that comes by faith in the Son of God, whose name is Jesus Christ. He mocks this.
The Bible says that several times. It's time to start believing what God says and stop relying on a doctrine. A lot of people are going to ride their Christian doctrine right into hell.
And I'm just going to say it. That could be Michael Pearl. If he's putting his trust in his conversion and the fact that he doesn't do other things, you know, well, I'm going to heaven because I don't drink anymore. I don't know his background. But if he's riding his Christian doctrine of a changed life, he ain't going to get to heaven. He may be one of those knock, knock, knock. Lord, have we not? That's why we pray for these men. And I'm going to tell you again, before we recorded today, we prayed for this man.
1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. That is the Greek word porneia, which is the word from which we get our word pornography. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. He said, you don't go to heaven if you do those things.
But he did not read verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. Because you're justified, Corinthian believers, don't live in the life of a person who's unjustified, who only has their flesh. Live in the truth and the light of who you are in Christ, not of who you once were. They never continue on. Because if you just keep reading, there's security for the believer. But there's also firm instruction to straighten up and walk right. That doesn't mean you have to straighten up and walk right to get into heaven.
You know, God's real narrow-minded. He's not broad like the people are in the world today.
I just don't like that comment. It just puts God in some type of weird Republican conservative mindset, you know. God is very loving. It doesn't mean he's tolerant, but he sent his son to die for you. He sent his son to die for those who would reject him. Let's not call him narrow-minded. Let's call him almighty, you know. And just as a point here, too, we've gone into detail on 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and we'll record it, or we'll put it in the description for you so you can watch that as well.
He's not into all this stuff. He's very strict. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, none of those shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Because that's the flesh.
Finally, 1 Corinthians 15:2 says, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. So here's a person who believed, but it was in vain.
That's probably the weakest argument in all that he discusses here. Of course, Paul about to make a claim for the resurrection. He's arguing from a point of something that hasn't happened. He says, unless you believed in vain, and unless you believe that Jesus is still dead in the ground, because then who are we trusting in at that point? We also did a video on 1 Corinthians 15. Take a look.
And they're not saved because they didn't keep.
Also, this is the part of the video that breaks me the most. You look at that crowd. You look at all those young kids. They're going to turn into some of you. And I say that lovingly. Some of you who hear this kind of teaching when you're young and you're gripped with fear and the weight of legalism and you think my salvation is performance-based. I mourn for those kids. I really do. And I think about what Jesus says. You cause one of these to stumble, it would have been better if you were tossed off of a cliff with a millstone around your neck. And that's why I pray for Michael Pearl. I pray that he comes to a change of mind and starts teaching the truth. But I look at these kids right here, man, and I think, oh, man. I almost pray they're not paying attention. But God is able to reach them too.
In their memory, these things. It didn't last. They didn't endure. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord.
Never describes the will of the Father. We've gone into this time and time and time again. Check a link in the description. You can see where we've gone into this. But do you see now? I want those of you who are paying attention, you know, you understand eternal life and you understand these dangers. You see the same passages they use over and over and over. You need to know how to defend those passages. Because they Matthew 7:21, it's like, all of them have it tattooed on their forehead. They always say, they're not going to get in. But they never tell you what the will of God is.
Enemy, in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works. And I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now that's pretty heavy. There'll be some of these charismatic preachers that have healings to their credit and different things. They won't get into heaven. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. You remember singing the song, Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rocks, Foolish Man Built His House on the Sand. Remember that?
I do remember that.
And you ask the kids, what's the rock? Jesus is the rock. That's not true. That's not what it says. Look what it says. Whosoever hears these sayings doeth them, he is like a man built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it was found upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine doeth them not. He's likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain descended.
Can you read the scripture any faster? I don't think he's doing this on purpose, but it's like, let's get through the word so I can talk.
Floods came, house fell down, so forth, so forth.
So
now,
forth, so
say?
Forth.
He said, the person who hears my sayings and does them is built on a rock.
And what are the sayings? The sayings are about discipleship, not eternal life. You want to know what God says about eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ? Martha, believest thou this, that I am the resurrection and the life, and he that were dead, and he that died, though he were dead, he'll be raised from the dead? Believest thou this, Martha? She says, yes, I believe. He says in John chapter 5, you're passed from death into life, you'll never be brought into condemnation, those who believe on me. What is he talking about in this parable? He's talking about discipleship. But it's been conflated, this idea of salvation and service, they go together in this man's mind. His doctrine is inseparable. If you're really saved, you will perform, otherwise you were never saved.
The building on a rock is building on obedience to what Jesus Christ said. If your life is not founded on obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, do not call yourself a Christian.
There it is. That's probably the clearest statement. If you are not obedient, if you are not doing what the Lord says, you are not saved. Now, I'm guessing what he means by you're not a Christian means you're not really saved. And I think that's correct. I have the benefit of knowing how the video ends. You don't. So trust me, that's what he means.
Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in the heart and mouth, the word which we preach, that if thou believe in that heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's so easy to be saved.
Again, I don't mean to mock, but it's not easy, according to Michael Pearl's real doctrine. It's not. You can't be a drunkard. You can't be a fornicator. You can't be a murderer. And you can do all those things and not actually physically do them, but you do them in your mind. Does that mean you're not saved? I have seen the torture that this inflicts upon men. I wish I could show you it's not hundreds of emails yet, but it's getting there, of people saying, I want to believe, but I can't stop my sin. It's because they hear stuff like this, and it ain't biblical. And if that's you and you're watching, you can know that you're born again by simply putting your trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God who shed his blood for you, whose name is Jesus. You put your trust in him, and then you read 1 John 5:10-13. That's about you. You've believed unto eternal life. And once you get it, you can't lose it.
It's believe with your heart. There is a belief like the devil had, a belief like Judas had, a belief like the false converts had, and then there's a belief with your heart. Remember when the man came to Jesus? And I mean, not to Jesus, it was the Ethiopian Philip. Eunuch. And he said, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And he said to him, thou mayest if thou believest.
All right, so about 4 minutes and 18 seconds into the video, 6 minutes and 34 seconds in total, he is going to give his definition of belief here. Pay attention.
With all that heart. So there is a believing that is like believing in George Washington. There's a believer like believing in Donald Trump. don't expect that to last you very long. There's a believing like believing in our military or school system or whatever you want to believe in. That's temporal, and it's a belief.
Okay, so it's temporal, but it's a belief. Okay, so what he's saying is you can believe in Donald Trump, you can believe in George Washington, you can believe in the U.S. military and other things, but that belief is temporary. What is that implying? Well, you're believing in a stated or implied truth. You're putting your trust in, let's just say he used Donald Trump as an example. Donald Trump says, I will make America great again. You say, I believe that you will do that. Okay, you have believed what he said. Can't change that now. But what he's going to say is, no, it's deeper.
But then there's a believing like I believe in my wife. See, I believe my wife.
For what?
It's a relationship.
Bingo! There it is. It's a relationship. Real belief is a relationship.
It's a union. It's a commitment. It's a two-way receiving and giving thing. It's intimate. It's permanent. It's real.
It's permanent until you stop believing, I guess. That's what that means. If he were to divorce his wife, does he no longer believe in her? Was he never really married to her now? Oh, that never really happened because you didn't endure to the end. It's silly logic.
Now, what kind of believing do you have? Was it just short down the aisle, brief thing? John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you hear his voice?
It's funny, the mockery of the Baptist call, and then he literally gives a Baptist call. Like, this is, I was raised in a church. I remember this verse being used in this way. Do you follow him? Do you know him? Come down the aisle, you know? And I would walk, 12-year-old me, before I got saved, would walk down the aisle in fear that I was doing this and that I couldn't keep it. But man, if I died as soon as I went to the altar, then I'd know I'd go to heaven. In fear, I walked down the aisle thinking I'm ready to follow Jesus for my eternal life. And that's not the call of John 10:27. In John 10:28, it says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The sheep are secured because they believe on the shepherd.
Do you know him? Does he know you? Do you follow him?
Follow.
I give unto them eternal life, and they shall...
So again, I want you to see that. There's a belief that is temporal. There's a belief that is permanent. The temporal is just a believing in Jesus. The permanent is following after Jesus after belief. And here we are. We're in that last 60 seconds. And this is really where you get the 1-2 shot of what this man believes.
Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, if you're Baptistic, you may have had trouble with this message today. But I assure you, I am not teaching salvation by works, nor am I teaching that you can lose it. I'm teaching that if you got it, you're different. And if you're not different, you don't got it.
Okay, so there it is. I'm not teaching that you're saved by works, but I am teaching if you're saved, you're different, you're changed. What is the change in the individual's life? They're born again. They are sealed with the Spirit. They are going from condemned to justified. They're going from impure to holy and righteous and set apart. They have only the corruptible, and now they will have the incorruptible. That's the change. And the only way I, as a man, can see your change is by your works, but your works don't justify that you are changed. The blood of Jesus justifies you. He says, if you're really changed, I'm going to see it. I'm not going to stand before Michael Pearl or any other lordshipper or Calvinist when I get to heaven to prove my eternal life. I will stand at the judgment seat of Christ where I am already accepted, and I will give an account for the things that I chose to do in this life. There is nothing that I could do or someone could do to me that could take away my eternal life. He says, if you're saved, you're different, and I should see it. Otherwise, you're not really saved.
And I'm telling you that it's no good to go and decide to reform yourself so you can know you've got it.
That is the most confusing statement. You're saved by a change, but it's no use going around reforming yourself. How else do you prove the change? It's like, honestly, they think you're going to be sitting in your home and all of a sudden, boom! I can now do all things correctly. It just doesn't happen that way. It will never happen that way. The only way you're able to live a changed life is if you realize you're fully redeemed. See, I serve God out of love, pure mind, no fear. I am not afraid to meet my Savior. I can't wait. I cannot wait to meet him. And I'm serving him out of a sober mind, out of power that I have in my new nature through the Holy Spirit. And that's how I have victory over my flesh. And there's days where I don't, where I do not do things correctly. But let me tell you, God has forgiven me, and that's enough.
You need to realize that you are lost and damned, and you need to call on the Lord Jesus Christ and desire him with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. You need to love him first and foremost.
Three.
You need to repent toward God.
Four.
So that he becomes your all in all.
Five.
Until you do that, you're not going to heaven.
Five things is what he says you have to do to know you're going to heaven. Isn't it good to know there's just one thing? Believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen.
You're one of that 80% sitting in the congregation waiting on the sound of the trumpet when you look around and say, it's true.
Could be you, Michael.
They're gone.
Could be you.
And I'm still here.
Well, I know I got kind of fired up in this video here, but I'm just telling you, folks, I hear stuff like this, and I the emails come to my mind and the phone calls, and I've heard men break down and weep because they listen to teaching like this and they don't know if they're saved or not. And I just know the Bible doesn't teach that. And I want to encourage you, if you're watching today, you can know that you have eternal life by believing on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who shed his blood, was buried, and rose again 3 days later. He paid for all your sin. The moment you do that, you are passed from death unto life, and you'll never be brought into condemnation again. You're born again. You say, Pastor, I don't feel any different. It's not about how you feel. It's about what God said. You can go and serve God in pureness, and you can have victory over this sin in your life. But man, if you're listening to guys like this, stop it. Just stop it. These guys are not full of the truth. I hope this has been a blessing to you. Make sure that you subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Until then, keep looking up. Jesus surely is coming soon, and may he come soon. God bless you. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.